Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's May the 30th in Merachem Beis. We are in Perek Chav, chapter 20. And we have Tepasek Yud Beis, verse 12. We were told the entire story of Chizkiyahu and Sancheirev. In Malachim, the most recent thing that is told over here is about the sickness of Chizkiyahu and how Hashem healed him and how Hashem made the sun go backwards as a sign that he would be healed. Of course, this all takes place 3 days before the destruction of Sancheirev, and then Sancheirev is destroyed and everybody is saved. But the reason why the next part of the story is written here, even though it happens later, is because it's a result of the sun moving backwards. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Ba'isa, here at that time, Shalach Birodach Baladon ben Baladon, Melech Bavel, Birodach Baladon, the son of Baladon, the king of Bavel, sent Svarim Umincha el Chizkiyahu. He sent Svarim, which is scrolls, and Mincha and gifts to Chizkiyahu. Ki Shama, for he heard Ki Chala Chizkiyahu, that Chizkiyahu had gotten sick. So he sent scrolls and gifts. Now here's what the Gemara says happened. Berodach Baladon ben Baladon was the king of Bavel. Bavel at this time is not the world power that it is going to be under Nebuchadnezzar in a few years. But Berodach Baladon ben Baladon was a king, and his practice was that he would eat his morning meal in the third hour of the day, and then he would take his siesta, he would take a nap, and he would wake up in the ninth hour of the day. Very rough life. So that's what he would do. And this was what he would do every day. So he did his regular thing, and he went to sleep after his meal, and he woke up in the ninth hour. However, Hashem had moved the sun back. So when he woke up, it looked like it was the morning. So he wanted to kill his slaves, his servants. For he said, "You let me sleep all the way through the whole next night until the morning. Okay. How could you do that?" So they said to him, "No, that's not what happened. This sun moved backwards." So he said to them, "How did that happen? Who made the sun go backwards? How's that possible?" So they said to him, "It is the God of Chizkiyahu that made the sun go backwards." So Berodach Baladon ben Baladon was extremely impressed with what happened. And as a result, he sent Svarim, he sent scrolls and mincha and gifts to Chizkiyahu. And that's what it means, because he heard that Chizkiyahu was sick. Because what he said is, why did Hashem make the sun move backwards? And he was told, because of Chizkiyahu was sick, and he got better, and this was the sign to get him better. How they knew all that, I don't know. But that is what he was told. So he was very, very impressed with the entire story. So now he sends these messengers with these gifts and scrolls to Chizkiyahu. So the pasuk tells us Pasuk Gimel, verse 13, Vayishma lehem Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu listened to them, which means he accepted them. He accepted the gifts and he accepted the scrolls. Vayaremes kol beis nechoso, and he showed them all of his treasuries, his treasure houses. Meaning, Berodach Balad and Mevalana was so impressed. He wanted to know what's this Jewish kingdom all about. So he showed them all of his treasure houses. Es HaKesef, Ves HaZav, Ves HaBesamim, the silver, the gold, and the spices, Ves Shemen HaTov, and the good oil, Ves Kol Beis Kelav, and all of the utensils, Ves Kol Ashanim Tza Ba'otzrosav, and all that was found in his treasure houses. Lo Hayadavar, there was nothing, Ashalo Heram Chizkiyahu Beveso, that Chizkiyahu did not show them in his house, and all of his dominion. The Gemara tells us that he showed them the Beis HaMikdash and the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash, the Aron, the Shulchan, the Luchos. He even showed them the Luchos inside of the Aron and the Sefer Torah. Now, I don't know how he was able to show them what's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Perhaps it means not the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Perhaps it means the Aron that was used for war, which had in it the broken Luchos. But whatever it is, he showed them everything. Now this was considered to be inappropriate, because this was Chizkiyahu was here reacting to Berodach Baladan Mebaladan's inquiry with a sense of, I don't even want to say the word because we're talking about Chizkiyahu, such a great tzaddik, but Chazal, as we'll see, the psukim themselves say there was a little element of gaiva here. That this foreign king was so impressed that he sent the Sfarim and the Mincha to Chizkiyahu. So Chizkiyahu's reaction was to show them everything. Look how impressive my kingdom is. Pasuk Yudal, verse 14. Vayavo Yeshayahu Hanavi El HaMelech Chizkiyahu. So Yeshayahu Hanavi came to the king Chizkiyahu. Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Ma Amru Anashim Ela? What do these men say? From where do they come to you? So Chizkiyahu responded, "May Eretz Rechoka ba'u mi Bavel." They came from a faraway land, from Bavel. Vayomer, and Yeshayahu said, "Marau beveisecha." What do they see in your home? Vayomer Chizkiyahu, "Es kol hashem beveisiro." They saw everything in my home. There was nothing that I didn't show them in my storehouses. Vayomer Yeshayahu el Chizkiyahu. So Yeshayahu said to Chizkiyahu, "Shma dvar Hashem." Listen to the word Hashem. Hine yamim bayim. Behold, days are coming. V'nisa kol asher beveisecha, and all that's in your home will be carried. Will be carried away. V'asher atzru avusecha, and all that your ancestors were able to store away. Arayom hazeh, until this day, they will be carried away to where? Bavela, to Bavel. Lo yivaser davar. Nothing will remain. Amar Hashem, says Hashem. And from your children that will come out of you, Asher Toli, that you will bear, or you'll have, you yikachu, they will be taken. Attendants in the palace of the king of Bavel. This is referring to, the Gemara says, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who according to one opinion were descendants of Malchus, of the kings. Vayomer Chizkiyahu l'Yeshayahu, so Chizkiyahu said to Yeshayahu, he accepts this, Tov Dvar Hashem Asher Dibarta, the word of Hashem is good that you spoke. Vayomer, and he said, Chizkiyahu said, "Hallo, im shalom ve'emes yaviyamai." There should be peace and truth in my days. In other words, I accept this punishment that this is going to happen, but it shouldn't come in my days. V'yesha divrei Chizkiyo and all the rest of the words of Chizkiyo, v'chol gevuros, all of his strengths, v'asher asa and all that he did, v'asher asa sabrecha ves ha-ta'ala, that he made the brecha and the ta'ala, which were waterways that were used in Yerushalayim. V'yaveh ha-samayim ha'ir, he brought water to the city. Hallo heim ksuvim al sefer divrei yavim malchi Yehuda, they're written on the chronicles of the kings of Yehuda. Vayishkav Chizkiyahu im avosav Chizkiyahu, who died. Vayimloch Menashe v'no tachtav, Menashe his son ruled in his stead. Now we already pointed out that Chizkiyahu has demonstrated over the course of all that we've learned incredible humility. That's what we've seen. That we saw that when Chizkiyahu is admonished by Yeshayahu for not marrying, he accepts it immediately. He doesn't argue with him, he accepts it immediately. When Chizkiyahu is criticized for having made his tefillah dependent on his own zechus, and Hashem responds, I'll save you the merit of David HaMelech, Chizkiyahu, he feels a sense of bitterness that he made a mistake. He realizes his mistake. And Chizkiyahu, of course, being the great Talmud Chacham, Torah flows to the lowest place. There you will not find Torah in someone who is a Baal Gaiva, someone who is haughty, who is arrogant, cannot absorb Torah. Chizkiyahu, who stands for Torah, was a humble person. And yet, over here, there is some element of Gaiva, of pride, that is shown by Chizkiyahu. That's one point which we have to understand. It doesn't seem to fit the rest of what we know about Chizkiyahu. In addition, when Yeshayahu comes to him and questions him, so why doesn't Yeshayahu just tell him that, you know, you made a mistake? Seems like the questioning leads to the eventual punishment. And the punishment is midah keneged midah, it's measure for measure. You showed them everything, well, they're going to take everything away from you. Eventually, Bavel is going to take everything away. But what does it mean at the end when Chizkiyahu says that I accept it, and as long as the destruction, there should be peace and truth in my day. It shouldn't come in my day. So it's better if it comes later? Like, what is that reaction? Now, just to add to the issues here, Chazal make a scathing accusation of Chizkiyahu over here. They say, I would never say this myself, but I'm going to read it. Rashi brings it. Ze'echad mishlosha. This is one of the three people. Shebad kana kodesh baruch hu. Hashem tested them. He checked them. Umatz on avid shomei mayim achurim, and he found them to be a bucket of filthy water, meaning that they were not filled with clear water, but with filthy water. Who are the three? Yechizkiyahu, Bilam, and Cain.
Oh, what a group.
Right. It's unbelievable. Cain said, when Hashem said to him, Hevel Achicha, where is Hevel, your brother? Cain responded, Lo Yadati. I don't know. Hashomer Achi Anochi, am I my brother's keeper? So that was, he should have said, Hashem, of course you know where he is. Right. His response suggests that he accepted Hashem's question at face value, that Hashem doesn't know. Bilam, when Hashem said to him, Mi ha anashim ha'ela imach, who are these men who have come to you? So Bilam responds, he says, Balak melech Moav shalach elai. Balak, the king of Moav sent for me. I'm a very important person. He didn't respond, Hashem, you know. Right? His response suggests that he thought Hashem didn't know. And here as well, Chizkiyahu, when Yeshayahu said to him, he said to him, what did these men say to you? He should have responded, Ata nevio shel makom, you're the prophet of Hashem. Va'ata shoel elai, and you're asking me? Of course you know. That's what he should have responded. But instead, Chizkiyahu, it says, Hiskel Chizkiyahu misga'e. Chizkiyahu had pride. Va'amar, and he said, Me'eretz rechoka bo'ilai, they came from far away to me. And that's why he was punished. also because he was happy that they visited him and he fed them on his table. He treated them with such a royal welcome. There was a certain pride over there, and that's why he was punished. Now, this is really shocking that Chizkiyahu should be placed in the company of Cain and Bilam, who, I mean, Bilam was a Rasha, terrible Rasha. Cain, you know, he was a murderer. Did something, you know, he was not remembered as a good person. And Chizkiyahu, the great Chizkiyahu, should be put in that company. It's shocking. Now, to be clear, Chizkiyahu's mistake over here is really not the same as Cain's and Bilam's. Because in the case of Cain and Bilam, Hashem is the one talking to them. Hashem says to Cain, "Where is your brother, Hevel?" And he says to Bilam, "Who are these people?" And when they respond, as if Hashem doesn't know, that's a tremendous chutzpah. But with Chizkiyahu, he's responding to a Navi. A Navi doesn't know everything. A Navi doesn't know everything. A Navi knows whatever he's told. He doesn't know everything. So it is conceivable that Yeshayahu didn't know. It is possible. Nevertheless, Chizkiyahu is taken to task for not saying, "You're the Navi. I'm sure you know," or something along those lines, something respectful along those lines of, "You're the Navi, you for sure know already," something like that. So right away you see that Chizkiyahu can't have done anything quite as bad as Bilam and Cain, which means he's being placed in their company not because he did something as bad as they did, but that on his madrega, on his level, he was expected to do differently, and therefore what he's done is akin to what Cain and Bilam did. Similar to what we find, where the pasuk says that Reuven had a relationship with Bilhah, his father's concubine. Of course, he didn't have a relationship with her. He simply moved the bed of his father. But on Reuven's madrega, on his level, it's considered to be that. David HaMelech is referred to as having done the sin of Ashes Ish, of adultery with Bathsheba. Of course, he did not do the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. But on his madrega, what he did, it is in that league. It's in that, not league, but it's in that type of sin on his madrega. Here, what Chizkiyahu did is in the same type of Avera that Bilam and Cain did, but of course it's on a completely different level. Now, just to show you, let's understand what's going on over here. I'm going to read to you the same story in Divrei Hayamim, same exact story in Divrei Hayamim, but you'll see that there are some words and phrases added that give a whole different light to what happened over here. In Divrei Hayamim, it's in Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Lamed Beis, chapter 32, Chaf Beis 22. Vayosha Hashem Yechizkiyahu, Hashem saved Chizkiyahu, Ve'isyosh v'Yushalayim, and the dwellers of Yushalayim, Miyad Sancher of Melech Ashur, Miyad Kol, from Sancher of the king of Ashur, and from everybody else, Vayinahaleim Misaviv, and he led them or saved them from all around. He led them from all around. V'rabim mevi'im mincha la'Hashem liYushalayim. Many were bringing gifts to Hashem to Yushalayim. Many people did. U'migdanos and gifts v'chizkiyo melech Yehuda t'chizkiyo. Vayina asei leinei chol ha'goyim me'achrei chen. And he was lifted up in the eyes of all the goyim, all the nations, after this. Chizkiyahu was looked at as an incredible person. People recognized that it was in his merit that Sancheriv was destroyed. In those days, Chizkiyahu got sick almost to die. And he said to him, meaning Hashem said he'll save him, and he gave him a sign, which was the sun moving backwards. Velo chigmul alav heishiv Yechizkiyahu, and Yechizkiyahu did not return did not do back to Hashem what Hashem did for him. Ki gava libo, for his heart became prideful. Vahi alav ketzef, and there was upon him anger. Val Yehuda of Yerushalayim, and on Yehuda and Yerushalayim. So Chizkiyahu had a measure of pride. Again, we're talking on his madrega, But on his madrega, there was a measure of pride in having been saved and all these nisim happening and all the people sending him gifts. And therefore, there was anger from Hashem. Vayikana Yechizkiyo begova libo hu v'yoshve Yerushalayim. And Chizkiyahu was humbled from his pridefulness, he and all the dwellers of Yerushalayim. V'lo v'alayhem ketzef Hashem b'mei Yechizkiyahu. And the anger of Hashem did not come upon them in the days of Chizkiyahu. So here it doesn't tell you the story of Berodach Baladan ben Baladan, but it tells you that what happened here is that Chizkiyahu was and the people of Yerushalayim had some pride for what happened, and then after all was said and done, then they, Chizkiyahu and the dwellers of Yerushalayim were humbled, and therefore the anger did not come on them in their day, meaning they did tshuva. When Chizkiyahu says, "I accept the punishment, and at least it's not going to come in my day," what he's saying is, at least my tshuva was accepted. Not accepted to the point where the punishment is completely removed. That will have to be for future generations to try to remove the punishment completely. As we will see, that's going to be the attempted by Yoshiyahu, who will be the next, not the next king. The next king is unfortunately has a lot of things bad, and the one after him is also a Rasha, but the great-grandson of Chizkiyahu, Yoshiyahu, is a tremendous tzaddik who will attempt to undo all the evil and to that through his tshuva there should be a reprieve for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's not going to be successful. So Chizkiyahu does not succeed in doing enough tshuva that the entire decree should be rescinded, but it's pushed off. And the reason why that's significant is that if it's pushed off, then you can live to see another day. Then perhaps the next generation will be able to merit getting it completely removed. So that's what you see here in Divrei HaYamim, that because of the punishment, the threatened punishment, they were humbled. And therefore, the Navi here continues. I'm just going to read this to you because it fills in the gaps of the end of Chizkiyahu's reign. Vayihi l'chizkiyahu osher v'chavod harbe ma'od. He had a lot of wealth and a lot of honor. V'ot saros asa lo l'chesef u'lezavu l'evan yakari. He made treasure houses for himself for the silver and gold and the precious stones. V'liv samim and for the spices. Ulemaginim. And for Maginim, I'm sure that is.
Shields,
thank you. Ulechol klechemdon, all of the precious things that he had. The precious types of utensils. Umiskenos, lisfuas, dagon, vesirosh, v'yitzar. And also he had silos for grain and for wine and oil. V'uravos, lechol behemo, behema, and stables for all types of animals. V'adorim, la'averos, and corrals for also different types of animals. V'arim asalo, and he made cities, u'miknetzon u'vakar larov, and cattle and sheep to a whole many. Kinasalo alakim rechush rav mod, Hashem gave him a great deal of wealth. V'hu yechizkiyahu sasam es motza meimei gichon ha'elyon, he, Chizkiyahu, closed up the way that the waters of Gihon would be motza would leave. He dammed up the area that they would leave the wherever there was in Yerushalayim. Va yashreim lemata ma'arava li'ir David, and he directed them to the lower part of the Marava of Ir David, is this where he moved the water to. Vayatzlach Yechizkiyahu b'chomaseu, and he was very successful. He redirected the waters of Gihon in order to make the waters more accessible and more usable for the people of Yerushalayim. V'chein b'melitze sarei bavel hamashacham lav lidrosh hamofes hashehoya v'aretz, and also in the messengers of the officers of Bavel that were sent to him to find out what was going on with the sign that was in the land that the sun had gone backwards. Azavoho Elokim, Hashem left him. Here's a critical point. Lina Soso, to test him. Ladas kol bilvavo, to know all of that was in his heart. We see here in Divrei Hayamim, now the picture gets filled in. What happened over here is that Chizkiyahu and the people of Yerushalayim experienced a little bit of pride. Again, we're talking about on his madrega for what happened throughout the whole story. And when that happened, Hashem decided to test Chizkiyahu and had Barodach Baladan ben Baladan become shocked by the sun moving backwards to the point where he would send messengers and see what Chizkiyahu would do. It was a test. And Chizkiyahu unfortunately did not pass the test, and that's where the punishment came in. And let me finish up over here. V'yaser divrei Chizkiyahu v'chasadav, and the rest of the words of Chizkiyahu and his kindnesses, hinam ksuvim b'chazon Yeshayahu v'namot zanavi, they are written in the Nevuah of Yeshayahu ben Amotz, al Sefer Malchi Yehuda v'Yisrael, on the books of the kings of Yehuda and Yisrael. Vayishka v'chizkiyo im avosav, he died, v'yichberuhu b'malai kivrei davene David, and he was buried in the upper part of the graves of Bnei David. V'chavur oslo b'moso, they made a great honor for him when he died. Kol Yehuda v'yoshu v'yushalayim, all of Yehuda and all the dwellers of Yerushalayim, v'yimlech Menashe v'notachtav, and Menashe is ruled in his stead. So what happened here is that as a result of the pride that they felt, Hashem then tested them, tested Chizkiyahu, tested the people of Yerushalayim by Barodach, Baladan, Bemaladan, sending messengers. And when they reacted, Chizkiyahu reacted with showing them everything, so he did not check that pride. So then Yeshayahu came to him and said, who are these people? And here was the final test. He still could have averted disaster, because had Chizkiyahu at that point caught himself and said, Yeshayahu, you're the Navi, and you're asking me? You're the Navi, you know. So that would have been a tikkun, that would have fixed up the prideful positions he was taking. But instead he responded with more pride, and as a result the punishment came. But again, we have to emphasize that of all this mention of pride, it is because we're dealing with such a great person, Chizkiyahu, that the Navi is writing it as if we're talking about this arrogant person who is all full of himself. Chizkiyahu was nowhere like nothing like that, but on his level there was an element, a small element of pride that was being detected by Hashem, and Hashem therefore sent Chizkiyahu test after test after test, which he failed each one until there was a punishment. When the punishment happens, then he becomes humble and does tshuva, and the punishment is pushed off. Now, we know that all of Navi is meant to teach us lessons. That's the point of the Navi. And therefore here we're going to see a very, very significant lesson for us in our daily lives. I just want to point out to you that in Yeshayahu, Perek Lamed Test, chapter 39, which is a short perek, it is only 8 psukim long, this same story is recounted. That it's about here he's called Mirodach Baladan Ben Baladan, that he sent the things to Chizkiyahu, and Chizkiyahu says Vayismach Aleim Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was happy on them. He was happy that they had come, and he showed them everything. And then the same thing. Then Yeshayahu Navi comes to him and says to him, "What do they say to you? And where are they from?" And then Chizkiyahu responded, "They're from a faraway land." And then he said, "What did they see?" He showed them, I showed them everything. And then Yeshayahu responds that because of this, you're going to end up with a punishment, that everything's going to be taken away to Babel, and your children are going to be sarisim, are going to be attendants in the palace of the king of Babel. And Chizkiyahu says the same thing. Hashtov dvar Hashem asher dibarta, the words of Hashem are good that you spoke. Vayomer, and he said, Ki yashalom emes biyamai, there should be peace and truth in my days. And that's where the story ends in Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu is mostly not a story, but there is this part of the story there. The very next pasuk in Yeshayahu is Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. That's the very next part of Yeshayahu. Nachamu, Nachamu is right after this episode of Chizkiyahu. That's where Nachamu begins. The Shiva de Nechamta, the Haftarahs of Nechama, which come from Yeshayahu, they start from here, right after this story. Yeah.
I'm puzzled where he said he showed all of the vessels and everything in the temple and called them his things.
Yeah, yeah. It does call him his things. It probably means because he's the king, so he's in charge of everything.
Okay.
Remember, we said Chizkiyahu stands for everything. Torah, Malchus, also Avoda, because of davening. He stands for everything, so it could be that because of that. Yeah.
So is this implying that the Korban from Babel is, I mean, this is a punishment for Chizkiyahu's time, or it's something that, like you said, they could have avoided?
Yeah, no, so, I mean, when these sort of things happen, they're multifaceted. It's not one thing. You know, the Gemara asks the question, why was the first place something destroyed? Right, so the Gemara says it's Shelo Berachu BaTorah Tchila. They didn't say a bracha on Torah, right? Or the Gemara says they did the three big averas.
Yeah.
So you have to, you know, each thing needs to be understood in the context of what's being said over there. But yes, there's an element of the destruction of the first place Hamikdash, or at least I shouldn't say that. There's an element of Golus Bavel, of the Golus into Bavel that is pinned on what happens over here. But let's understand what's happening over here before we make that conclusion, because there's really a significant lesson over here. So Chizkiyahu is a great person, which is an understatement. Everything we've learned about him, just unbelievable, the amount of miracles that are going on over here. The very fact that Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach, even though he didn't make it, but that fact means that we're dealing with a very, very great person, really great person, not just an okay tzaddik, you know, the run-of-the-mill tzaddik. We're talking about a really huge, huge person. We're also talking about somebody, we explained last time, that it was not that he just was delinquent in not saying Shira, but it was a decision that he didn't say Shira. On his level, he made a mistake, but it was a decision not to say Shira. We talked about what might have been the reason why. But the fact of the matter is that he had open miracles made for him. He single-handedly saved Yerushalayim through his policy of Limud HaTorah. He made it that all of Klal Yisrael were essentially Talmidei Chachamim, everybody. That there was no Am Haaretz in the entire Eretz Yisrael. This is all him. That he turned the country around after the disastrous reign of his father Achaz. We're talking about just an incredible person and an incredible set of circumstances. When it's all over and every Sancheirav is destroyed, his sickness is healed, and all the miracles take place, and Chizkiyahu then has a measure of pride. Now that pride, as we keep saying, is on his level, but there's a measure of pride. What does Hashem do? Now this is very, very significant for each one of us. So Hashem detects in the person, here in Chizkiyahu, a measure of pride. Now, what should Hashem do? What are Hashem's choices, so to speak? Let's play God, right? Okay. Now, obviously, we don't know all of Hashem's choices. Harbei drachim la'malkom, Hashem has many ways, which means that there's more variables and more ways that Hashem has than we can possibly imagine. However, we can give some general ideas. Hashem could punish him, right? If he's doing something which he knows he shouldn't be doing, even though it may be a first infraction, but we're talking about Chizkiyahu, so he could get punished for having that little bit of pride. You can punish him. Hashem could warn him, don't be prideful. Hashem could encourage him, could show him examples of how not to be prideful. But what Hashem actually does is, Hashem gives him another opportunity to either be prideful or to correct what he did wrong. He sends the messengers of Merodach Baladan and Baladan. What's going to happen now? You're showing an element of pride. So I'm going to send another test, another nisayon. Now let's see. Will you recognize, ooh, one second, this is not right, I got to correct what I'm doing, or will your first act of pride lead to another act of pride? Which it does. So then Hashem sends another test. Yeshayahu is sent to the scene. And he says, who are these people? That's another opportunity to correct the pridefulness. Will you catch yourself? Or will you allow the first act of pride to lead to this first two acts of pride to lead to a third act of pride, which is what happens. So now Hashem punishes him. So is that the end? No. Because what does the punishment do? Now he's humble. Vayikana. He becomes humble. Now he says, oh, I made a mistake. I was wrong. And does tshuva. Meaning like this. Hashem's goal is that we should all be tzaddikim. Every single one of us. But we have to choose to be tzaddikim. Hakol bidei shamayim. Everything's in the hands of heaven. Chutz mi yirat shamayim, except for the fear of heaven. That's our choice. Hashem, in His infinite wisdom, perfectly calibrates our choices, our ability to choose. What the choices we are faced with. And Hashem could have immediately sent a Navi to Chizkiyahu and say, you're acting prideful, you're going to get punished. To which Chizkiyahu goes, oh, no, well, I do tshuva, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it. That's what he could have done. But in his infinite wisdom, he didn't do that. Instead, he gave him another nisayon. When he failed that, he gave him another nisayon. When he failed that, he really gave him another nisayon, which he passed. See, when finally the punishment is announced, that's another nisayon. Because how could Chizkiyahu have reacted to that?
Oh, no, not me.
Right. He could have reacted with Yeshayahu, leave, get out, throw you in jail. How dare you talk to me like that? How does a prideful person react when someone says to him, you're going to be punished? And wags their finger at them. How does a prideful person react? With they get angry, arrogance. Who are you to talk to me like that? That's what he could have done. But as soon as the punishment is stated, he's humble. So the fourth nisayon works. Unfortunately, there's a punishment attached to it, which still is going to need greater tshuva than what Chizkiyahu is capable of doing at that point. But nevertheless, he passes that nisayon. Frequently, you know, we say, we daven, Hashem, don't bring us to nisayon. Lo lidei nisayon. We don't want to be tested. A person is not allowed to put themselves in a situation of being tested. You're not allowed to have yourself tested. The halacha is that if there are two ways to travel to the same destination. You have to go to a particular destination. There's two ways of traveling. In one direction, there is a nisayon. There's a test. The other direction, there is not. Person is not allowed to go deliberately along the route where there is a test. Person must try to avoid having himself tested in his Yirat Shamayim. Person's not allowed to try to be tested. We learned this already with David HaMelech, with Bathsheba, when he asked for an Nisayon, which was the wrong thing to do. Again, David HaMelech has Madrega, but it was the wrong thing to do. The Gemara illustrates this with a man, where the Gemara says that if a man has two ways to go, in one direction there are women who are not dressed properly, and the other direction there are not women who are not dressed properly, he is required to go in the direction where there are no improperly dressed women. If he goes in the direction where there are improperly dressed women, and he closes his eyes, pass the test. He doesn't look. Closes his eyes. The Gemara says, Nikra Rasha. He's called a Rasha. He closed his eyes. He passed the test. But he's called a Rasha because he put himself in a matziv of Nisayon. He puts himself in a situation of being tested. A person's not allowed to do that. We're not allowed to do that. We have to try to avoid Nisayon. One does not deliberately put themselves in a situation where they're going to be tested. Now, sometimes it's inevitable. Sometimes a person can't help it. A person has to be able to live life and do things. And sometimes it's not possible to avoid Nisayon. Okay, then that's the way it is. Look, all of life in a certain way is a Nisayon. No matter what we do, there's always Nisayonos. But we have to try to avoid putting ourselves in situations where it's going to be challenging, where we're going to have a hard time fighting our Yetzirah. We have to try to avoid that. So that's our job. But sometimes Hashem tests us. We know Avram Avinu was given 10 Nisyonos, and he passed them all with flying colors. Asar Nisyonos. That the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. And Avram Avinu passed them all. What was the purpose of those Nisyonos? Why did Hashem test Avram Avinu? Who knows? Remember what the Mishnah says? Anybody remember? Should we read it? There we go.
I thought it was so Avram would learn.
Well, it doesn't say that. Anybody know, remember what the Mishnah says about the 10 Nisyonos? It says, Asar Nisyonos Nisnas Avram Avinu V'amad B'kulam. Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests and he withstood all of them. Lodia kama chibaso shel Avram Avinu, to show how much was the love of Avram Avinu. In that case, Hashem said, Avram Avinu has incredible potential. He loves me so much. He could even bring his son as a sacrifice. But he's not going to put himself in a situation of sakana, of Nisan, not allowed to. I'm going to put him into a situation of Nisan to bring out minakoach el apoel, from potential to actual. Let him actually show his love, because I know that he loves me that much. That's Hashem's decision, not Avram's decision. That's one reason why Hashem may test somebody. It's in order to show how much, how good they really are, how great they really are, to bring it out. So Hashem puts a person who he knows has the capacity to pass the test in a situation of Nisayon. That's one reason why Hashem may do it. Here we see a different reason why Hashem may do it. And that is, a person may act in a manner that is inappropriate for that person on his madrega, each one of us according to our own levels. A person may act in a way that for that person is inappropriate. And unfortunately, that triggers a nisayon. We don't want a nisayon. We say, don't put us in a nisayon. We don't want that. But sometimes our own behavior, God forbid, triggers a nisayon. And this nisayon is not in order to show our love for Hashem. It gives us the opportunity to correct our mistake or for further failure. It puts the person failed. So Hashem says, oh, you failed? You didn't live up to what I expected you to do? This, obviously, Hashem decides when a person deserves this. But you didn't do what you knew you were supposed to do in my service? I'm going to give you another opportunity. But that opportunity is a double-edged sword. It's not purely so that you can correct it. It's got both ways. Hopefully, you're going to use this new opportunity to correct yourself, and you will grow and be a better person. But if you don't, it's going to be failure all over again, and it's going to get worse. And then maybe there'll be another Nisayon. And then if that fails, maybe another Nisayon. Each one is ratcheting it down further. It's worse. Until the last Nisayon here was that there'll be a punishment. Had Chizkiyahu, God forbid, failed this Nisayon, who knows what would have happened next? It might have been horrific what would have happened next. But he did arrest himself and did not fail in this final Nisayon. and he was successful, and he corrected it. And Chizkiyahu is forever remembered as a great tzaddik, a great Talmud Chacham, a great king. That's what he's remembered as. He's not remembered as a king who failed, who did Averos. That's not how he's remembered. He's remembered as the great Chizkiyahu. That's because in the end, he did correct himself and he did not fall. He did correct himself. But unfortunately, it took several Nisyonos before finally he was able to catch himself. This is something which we should notice in our own lives, in that, you know, sometimes a person's having a bad day and then it just keeps getting worse. And sometimes we find ourselves in a bad way. You know, like, I don't know about everybody else in the room, I'll talk about myself, right? So, you know, you snap at somebody, and then another incident happens, and you snap at that other person, another incident happens, you snap at that person, right? It's like you're in a rut. A person's in a rut. That can happen with, I just used it in terms of annoyance. It can happen in other ways as well. A person gets into a rut, and then they just keep on, you know, doing it over and over again. What is that? Why is that happening? Why does it keep on happening? It could very well be this. It could be once the person fell the first time, so then Hashem gives them another chance, but not like a second chance the way we like to think of a second. A second chance sounds like a wonderful thing. Here's a second chance. It is a wonderful thing, but it's dangerous also. It's a double-edged sword. And a person who's in a rut, what they're experiencing is, the Nisayon came, I blew it. The next Nisayon came, I blew it. The next assignment came, I blew it. The next assignment came, I blew it. That's what's happening. Could be. Not all the time. I'm just giving a suggestion. And the way one gets out of the rut is to recognize what's happening and to say, I got it. I got it. I'm creating my own nisyonos. Not on purpose, but that's the type of hanhaga, the type of way that Hashem is dealing with me. I've created this. So then a person resolves that the next time the Nisayon happens, I'm going to respond successfully. And that will stop it. That will pull me right out of the rut. Could be, even just recognizing it will obviate the need for another Nisayon. Simply recognizing the fact that, oh, look at all these Nisayonos that I failed. I realize I got to do better. That in itself may stop the need for any more. He recognizes Hashem doesn't need to give him anymore. He got it. He got the picture. So this is a very practical thing. We don't know. We never know why Hashem is doing everything that he's doing. But this is a window. It's a glimpse into one of the ways Hashem runs the world. One of the ways. It's Hashem could do it this way. This can be what happens. And it's not wrong for a person, if they're in a rut, to say, maybe that's what this is. You can't say it for sure. We're not Nevi'im. We don't know for sure. But a person has the right to say, you know what? This reminds me of what happened to Chizkiyahu. This reminds me of that. Maybe that's what's going on over here. Maybe what it needs right now is for me to catch myself. I'm not talking here about bad things happening to a person, you know, that are not dependent on his free will. I'm talking about, you know, a person has, God forbid, a financial crisis. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where it's clearly my own bad midos and my own, you know, it's clearly that kind of thing where, and I'm just not in a good place. That's what I'm talking about over here. And it could be that this is where it's coming from. And a person who recognizes that, it could be that's what will stop it. This is a glimpse into that idea. Okay, this is where we're going to conclude the discussion of Chizkiyahu. And next, Chizkiyahu, as you saw, was this entire discussion. But next comes the discussion of his son Menashe, which is in itself a very, very complex discussion. So that'll be our next thing to tackle. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.